The Wrong Sister by T.E. Woods is a twisted novel of psychological suspense with an ending that you will never see coming.
From behind the wheel of her car, Tess Kincaid glimpses a woman walking down the street in Madison, Wisconsin.
They've never met, but there's an undeniable familiarity about her. Her face is the same one Tess sees every time she looks in the mirror.
Soon, Tess and Mimi find they share much more than just appearance. What if a perfect stranger is really neither of those things?
The Wrong Sister by T.E. Woods is available now everywhere books are sold.
More info at tewoodswrites.com or kensingtonbooks.com.
Hey, everybody. The Andy Daly Podcast Pilot Project is coming back for Season 2, premiering March 8th on Stitcher Premium.
Every episode is a pilot for a brand new show hosted by a different character.
The 8-episode season includes pilots from returning characters Dalton Wilcox and Don DeMello, new characters like Joe Bongo and Gil Ngali, and shows from the past like a long-lost pilot from L. Ron Hubbard.
For a free month of Stitcher Premium, go to stitcherpremium.com/Andy and use the promo code Andy.
I'm Emily Foster.
And I'm Deanna Chang.
And we're too damn young to be this damn confused.
I thought MCM was a new party drug.
I thought taking an L was a sex position.
Isn't Salt Bay a town on Long Island?
We don't know,
but we do care.
So we're talking to youths to hip us up to what's happening.
We are doing this for us.
But we're also doing this for you.
Because let's face it,
you want to be less old too.
How to be less old!
Hello, Deanna Chang. This is Emily Foster.
And this is a podcast called How to Be Less Old, where we interview young people in general, 25 and under, in order to stay hip and fresh and aware.
And sometimes an older person will sashay their way in here.
That's right.
And today we have a phenomenal, dare I say, older person coming in to sit her gorgeous buns down with us.
This is like genuinely thrilling.
We have Dame Kristen Bell.
Oh, my God. You know her from what? What don't you know her from?
If you don't know her, that's – you're taking an L.
You know her from Frozen. You could see her ass on Deadwood, Veronica Mars, Burning Love, Bad Moms, The Good Place.
I mean, just to name a few.
Just literally – and that's just bringing it way down. Did we say Frozen?
We did.
Okay.
And when I was doing my research, I didn't know that she was also – I mean, she's in gems like Pootie Tang, okay? So just brace yourself, people.
Okay. Great, great,
great. A real up-and-comer we have today.
And should we say that you knew – really, she's hot off the press. Should we say that you actually – you guys grew up together.
We did.
And that's how we got her little bun seshing in here. So I'm so excited to hear about what you two were up to back in the day.
Nothing good, I'll tell
nothing
you that.
Nothing good?
Nothing good.
No, you – I really?
Really.
Really.
Really. But I also want to – I want to, you know, check her pulse.
Okay.
Take her temperature.
Sure.
Something like that. About I was scrolling on the Instas.
Yeah.
I see a Kylie Jenner.
Okay.
And I see her baby daddy has commented on a picture of her and the baby.
Right.
Gang on gang.
So Travis Scott.
That's right.
Has written underneath this photo.
A beautiful photo.
Of his woman and his baby.
Yeah.
Gang on gang.
And we'll just see.
If she has anything for us.
Thoughts, any feelings.
Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, for me, when you say gang on gang, my next word is violence. So I was confused.
Right.
Because, but let's let it simmer and think about it.
Yeah, I mean, in the context of looking at it alongside the photo, I'm going into gang on gang like, this is my gang and my gang has doubled.
Oh, right.
So
it could
it's
be a
my
baby
gang on
announcement.
Gang. Is that baby?
I like that take.
I like that. Well, we need to get her hot take on this.
All right, let's bring her in.
Okay.
How to be less old.
Hi.
Hi.
Kristen.
Oh,
Bell.
Hi.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you.
To How to Be Less Old.
I'm so happy to be here. I really need to be here.
Well, we all need to be here because let's face it, we're all kind of struggling.
Yeah.
In this life.
Yeah, because you just – you don't feel old, but then you catch yourself in the mirror or – like I – my reference point for this is I recently, and by recently, I guess I've been saying this for about 6 months. About 6 months ago, I found out who The Weeknd was.
Oh, okay.
Sure.
My friends were like, what do you mean you don't know who The Weeknd is? Yes. Like, he sings everything cool. And I was like, "I you got to help me out here. I don't know who that is." And then I saw him at some work event, and I came home so proud. And I said to my friend Ryan Hansen, I was like, I saw The Weeknd. And he's like, good for you, Grandma.
I mean, that's rude. One that's been with us, you know? So, that's a tougher.
And it's confusing because it's a man named The Weeknd.
Sure. Believe me, that was my first question. Also, I have been pregnant or nursing children for the last 5 years, so I'm not like –
out on the
keeping
scene.
Keeping up. Yeah. Like, I'm not like really, I mean, I'd love to be listening to hits on Sirius, but I'm not.
Right.
You know what I mean?
What are you listening to on Sirius?
I actually don't listen to Sirius. I listen to almost exclusively NPR.
Oh, same.
Although, I try to, because it's a great way to get your news. Although my children have made a rule that I am only allowed to pick the radio station when it's raining.
Which is
today
never.
It's actually great because I was able to pick the radio station, but they've decided that that's capped NPR
that's
for
hysterical.
Them. Yeah.
All right. In the
smart kids
spirit of keeping young.
Yeah.
Do you know what a bop is?
A bop. It's not hitting someone on the head. No, I don't. A bop.
Like The Weeknd has a bunch of bops.
Is it like
just like
a good song?
Yeah.
Okay. Weirdly, that sounds way more antiquated than it does. That sounds like what they said in the 40s and 50s.
Yeah, it does.
Do bop, bop. Have you heard this great new bop?
Bop.
So they brought it back. Okay.
Yeah. They brought it back. We were looking under Cardi B's Twitter post or whatever it was, and she just released a new song, and it was like, it's a bop, 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 it's a bop, it's a bop, and we were like,
all the comments.
Okay.
What's happening?
Do you
here?
Ever get comments where you're like, what is someone saying to me on this?
Not really. I can usually decipher. I mean, in truth, I read a minimal amount of comments after I post something
you're
because
smart.
I just don't, well, I also don't have the time because like they... Yeah, I just don't have the time. I also don't necessarily feel it's very healthy in my evolved self to be focusing on the response. I think if I'm confident with something that I've posted, whether it's – no matter what it is, personal or work-related or charity-related, I'm not – if I'm confident enough to post it, I'm not really that interested in what your opinion is on it.
I think that's really – the key. If you're, that's the key to navigating social media.
Well, and that's why you're an older guest, because this is a wise, wise thing to share with the world.
Right.
Like, you should not put anything out there that you don't feel comfortable with, that you need validation from.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
it's tricky.
Having your baseline be you're doing it because it's relating back to the sort of AA teaching that self-esteem comes from esteemable acts, or self-esteem can only come from inside you. So like if you're waiting for the comments, it's sort of like giving a present to someone and waiting for them to say thank you, which is like to me like a pretty gnarly way to exist. Like if I feel like buying you something like, oh my God, Emily would love this, I'm just going to get it for you. It's not about your reaction. It's not necessarily about when you say thank you via email or text or thank you note. Although I understand the other side of the coin, because I've had this conversation with many people and they're like, it is responsible to say thank you so much and say thanks for thinking of me.
But that will happen with or without you.
Right. And you just cannot be dependent on it. And I think we've sort of become accustomed to being dependent on someone else's reaction. And to me, that's a sort of like, it's a systemic thing. It's like this symptom of waiting for someone else to react because you're trying to fit in versus letting your own barometer navigate your actions.
No, it's very true, because we know that there's kids, you know, who post something and then we heard, you know, if they don't get a certain amount of likes within the first 5 minutes it's up, it gets pulled. Because they're not.
Yeah, I don't have the time to be doing stuff like that. That to me is a little,
That, and that's younger. Like, that's like teenagers are up to that. But it's setting up that.
To wait for a response. Yeah, which is not how we should be relating to each other. That's a sickness. That's a really, it's a bad, it's the same way like in marriage or in friendship. You can't be doing something to solely please the other person. That's not to say that it's not great. Like, you know, all these different parenting techniques of like when you tell your kid you're proud of them because they shared. are they going to share next time because you were proud, because mm-hmm. they're trying to make you proud. That to me is sort of like a – I'd split it down the middle. If they're doing something really good and I was the catalyst for why they did something good, and then they can sort of throughout the next few years of their life recognize why sharing is really good. And, oh, maybe I initially did it to make my mom happy, but now it just feels good because it's kind of altruistic and makes everyone happy. There's a fine line between wanting to make people happy and depending on others' reaction.
Mm-hmm. And that's interesting too. I feel like with kids, I can already see like she's looking at me for my reaction.
Yeah, yeah.
So we all start kind of at that base of just like, oh, when I do this, this happens from the people around me. So it's interesting.
And that is a hot topic in our household because there are all these different parenting techniques. Like Rye mm-hmm. is this technique where you really just – you don't infuse any emotion into – you just say, oh, I see you have that ball. I see you feel like you need that ball from that boy. You sort of acknowledge it. In theory, there are a lot of things I like about Rye. I like, you know, not saying you're okay. You're okay. You're okay. Because, A, they might not be okay. And you're sort of teaching them to hide their emotions. You should ask them. But also, we are monkeys. We grew up in tribes. I think there's something really powerful and very important about, like, if I walk into a room and steal the food off everyone's plate, you guys are going to be like, hey, guess what, brah? You're not invited to dinner next time. And I'm going to have to be like, ooh, okay, so I can't come in and take food off other people's plates because it's just not kosher.
Right.
Like there's something about the tribe influencing your behavior to make it work for the greater good that I think is beneficial, which I think is where Rye falls a little bit short.
Yeah. Interesting. All right, we went off the rails.
I'm so sorry.
No.
We have five questions
this is really good.
Oh, wow.
I love it. I think we only have four.
I'm so annoyed. Here's why I know I'm old. Because everything – I'm asked, I somehow turn into like a parenting platform. Like, well, if I'm thinking about how I relate this to my kids.
No, like, that just means you're a good mom.
It does.
Does it, or does it mean A, I'm like unnaturally obsessed with my children, and B, like I have no life outside of it? Because I'm also like I'm doing this show with Ellen right now on EllenTube. Called Momsplaining, where it's
so
all these
good.
Individual episodes talking about weird, crazy, stupid stuff that happens to parents and moms. And, you know, like the first episode, I take a girl to a birthing class and I tell her how, look, you're going to shit on the table when you're birthing. It's just, it's going to happen.
It's a really 50-50 real
chance.
Talk.
Get over it now. Yeah. Because let's not even think about it. Just go like, you know what? It's probably going to happen. Moving on.
I kept asking. I couldn't focus on anything else. I was like, so is the poop coming out now?
Yeah.
Is there poop coming out? And no one would tell me.
Right. That's why I wish someone had said to me, listen, it's a 50-50 chance.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Accept it and move
right.
on. Now
right.
let's talk about how to actually deliver this baby, the breathing, the epidural, all the other important stuff.
Right.
To sort of have levity to get you past your insecurities. But I'm doing that show specifically because all I think about or talk about is mom stuff, and I find myself annoying. And I'm like, I need an outlet for this.
So funny.
Because I'm like, I'm not cool anymore because like no one wants to hear about mom stuff all the time.
Well, we'll shake you out of your mom stuff
with
a couple different questions. Okay, so we're just going to start off with the most important question, and you take it or leave it. But we want to just understand the dew level of your skin. Like,
mm-hmm.
how is it so flawless and dewy?
I have very dry skin, so I moisturize a lot.
What does that look like?
And I'm currently using a lot of Aquaphor mm-hmm. around my nose area
mm-hmm.
and mouth area because I have, as you can hear, a head cold. So
mm-hmm.
I am blowing my nose a lot.
So you're just lubricating those
but
up.
I
yes.
think she actually told us the secret when she first got here, which our listeners did not hear, which she has like 18 different drinks happening at one time.
Yeah. It's a tick that I've accepted about myself.
Yeah. And I think you're just really hydrated.
I'm very hydrated. I'll recap it. I feel somehow very anxious and uncomfortable unless I have my bag of drinks. I just have a little cloth bag full of a bunch of drinks.
Bag of drinks.
There's a variety. It depends. Sometimes I'll shake it up in the morning, but usually what's in there is a protein shake because our job is to drive around the city and do different jobs. So.
Right.
I always need to have some sort of food in there. So protein shake, I'll have a water, I'll have a green tea. I'll sometimes have my leftover matcha from the morning. Mm-hmm. Then sometimes an aloe water. And then sometimes a kombucha.
Mm. And so that's six. You just rattled off like casually six drinks in your drink bag.
Yeah. And then sometimes like if I've gone to like Creation or Pressed Juicery, I'll grab like a green juice.
Sure.
But – and not to say I get through all of them during the day, but I feel very safe when they're close.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. No, that makes sense to me.
I understand that's strange. Sense. But I do really drink them all throughout the day.
And you're just, taking sips of this one and that one.
Correct. Yeah.
Is the kombucha something you're taking at the very – end of like it, when you need a boost, like when your energy dips?
Kind of, yeah. Mm. Sometimes I'll take it just because I like the taste of it. I like the bubbles. But yes, there is, you know, kombucha has a tea base. And I don't, sometimes I'll do coffee. I'm not like off coffee, but coffee gives me a slump. So if I have coffee mm-hmm. first thing in the morning, in 30 minutes, I could go back to bed. But if I have matcha or green tea, I'm much, much better. So yes, it's around like a 2 p.m. mark where I do feel a slump where I'm like, you know what I want? I want bubbles and I want a little bit of tea. I'll pop that kombucha in my boca.
We're back.
Yes.
We're back in business.
I love having kombucha like in the evening as a treat. Have you guys ever done that? Like, I'll actually put it in a wine glass and, like, drink it like
it's
wine.
That's very cute. And it doesn't keep you up because there's a little bit of tea in it?
No.
Does it? You're not sensitive to caffeine?
I mean, probably I'm just so tired that it wouldn't.
That's true.
Like, but kombucha's not keeping me down.
No. But, yeah, I don't know why. Just sometimes I'll throw some raspberries in there.
Ooh. Get out. Sangria. It does, like, slightly alcoholic.
Just
a little bit.
Scotch.
But in a great way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're
like
drunk
liquids.
For your day is what you're saying.
I'm hammered, yeah.
Yeah, okay, good. Baseline.
Yeah, I do. I just like liquids. I don't know.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Who can argue?
All right. You're insanely good on Instagram. Do you get that a lot?
Mm.
That's not my question, but.
I mean, from my mom.
Lorelai's pretty smart.
Yeah.
So I'm just curious because I'm always trying to know how to use these things, but like – when do you choose to do feed versus a video in your story?
Mm, this is very interesting. Let me start at the beginning. I felt I was nailing Twitter. I really love Twitter.
You're
but
good
it's
at that too.
It's a writing platform, mm-hmm. right? When I switched to Instagram, which was about a year ago, I didn't know my ass from my elbow. I was like, the caption's not important? What do you mean the caption's not that important? Like, that's the whole – that's the internet. There were.
Right.
Like, that's the – so I had a very hard time understanding it. And then I got a little training session from my friend Darcy Carden, who plays
bless
Janet
yes.
on The Good Place.
She's so funny.
She's so funny, and she's also very hip. And everyone has their own thing. Like, Darcy posts pretty funny stuff, but she also posts a lot of her with, like, the bunny eyes and ears mm-hmm. and her dog, Penny. And it's just sort of this ongoing love affair with Penny. It's all instinctual, and it's all based on what I think – I want. It's not. It's truly the North Star is not about pleasing anyone else. So I look at things that I want to live in infamy or live forever in perpetuity as the actual posts. Things that could go away, like we had a karaoke fundraiser last night for my preschool and there was like a funny moment. Probably going to be Instagram stories. That doesn't need to live in perpetuity anywhere.
I think that's a great
– yeah. That's
yeah, that's a great way
yeah.
to look at it.
Yeah, or something silly that's like an inside joke that like, you know, Emily spit her water through her nose or something. Maybe also consider it for Instagram stories because it – but something that – you know, like I do a lot of like charity campaigns. So like those obviously I want to be able to be referenced or people to go back to see where they can donate or how they can be involved. Yeah, it's all instinctual. I mean, there really is no roadmap, but also things that I think could get annoying, I always do on Instagram stories, like, and things that need a lot of updates because Instagram stories is a great way to update. So here's how I look at Instagram stories, that they're narrative stories that have a through line.
Which you did a very good job of with the story of the cats.
Correct. That was actually where I sort of honed it is I found the stray cat in my backyard. I saw that she had kittens. I was like, what am I going to do with six cats in my backyard? I guess just let them live under the deck. Saw they were struggling for food, started to feed them. Then all of a sudden, apparently, they became my cats. They started wandering into the house. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to do. Everyone's allergic. So my posts about updates, nobody needs to, like, go back and reference that. It's more
just be on this journey with me in my moment.
Be on this journey with me. And since there are updates, if there are updates, I feel like this just in kind of thing deserves to live on Instagram stories. And so I would post stupid videos of the cats or say where they got adopted. Or then the cat started fighting with the raccoon because the raccoon really wanted to get into their kibble feeder. And he did every night. Mm-hmm. So I posted that there. Yeah, it's –
Which poor sister had to deal with them?
Carly Dax's little sister.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she took three of them.
Oh,
I knew she would. I knew
you had a sucker on your hands.
Yeah,
you were
did.
Like, I got one.
And they are really, really sweet.
Of course.
But yeah, it's interesting. Like, videos are more suited to Insta stories. Yeah. I would say if you're really looking for a roadmap, think of everything as a story. Uh-huh. Until you're like, well, wait a minute. This is really a great picture of my kid in the sunset, or this is an amazing wedding video of my parents dancing, or a video of somebody falling that is going to be funny over and over again. Then take it to the actual post.
Yeah, on my way here, I made a giant
Start
mistake.
With story. Uh-huh.
I did exactly the wrong thing, and I'll walk you through it. It was raining. Uh-huh. I don't own an umbrella, which I'm going to start looking into that, but that's not part of the story.
Uh-huh.
I put a – I guess
step.
It is a part of the story. I put a baseball cap on in order to, like, stick my blowout up in there, uh-huh. you know. And I decided to post that in my feed.
Uh-huh.
And truth be told, it doesn't belong there.
Well,
it's a story.
It's a story.
It's topical. It's raining. It's not always raining in L.A. That's a topical thing. That's a here and now.
That's not
– this was the best vacation of my life or whatever the hell everybody else posts on Instagram. And so that would be considered a story. And also stories are fun because if you have a semi-interesting yet arguably mundane moment like this baseball cap, because some people would be like, who cares? You put a baseball cap on. But some of us are like, that's a big deal. It's a blowout and there's rain.
Yeah.
You can add all the fun stuff on Insta stories like
– I just discovered the GIFs.
Words.
Yes.
And pictures,
oh my God.
Which is a much cooler way to sort of cartoon it up, mess it up, make it funnier in a way where you can like put sunglasses. Like I take a picture of my dog and put like sunglasses and a winter cap on her in the cartoon section, and I don't necessarily post that on Instagram. I'll post it on Insta stories.
Smart.
Wow, that is a comprehensive answer, and I feel better. And I will make different choices
start
going
with stories.
Forward.
That's a beautiful
yes,
yeah.
start, with,
start
stories.
With stories.
Then if something's nagging at you, then you need it to be on Instagram. Then follow your gut.
Okay,
that's right. That's a hot tip.
I'm just going to jot that down.
We just have one stories. More of our top five questions, of which we've only asked you three. when we were kids,
yes.
What was
together?
I know.
Playing Super Nintendo in your den.
You might have just answered
you
the question.
You might have answered
oh,
it.
No.
No, that's
no.
good.
When we were kids, what was the most cutting-edge technology that you owned or I owned? Which was?
Well, I know what yours was.
Nintendo.
Your headgear.
She came for me so fast.
Okay, I know
so
it.
Fast.
Because I
dare
remember
you.
Putting it on
oh my
and
God.
Looking at you and like, what? It's pulling your teeth? And you sleep in it.
Yeah.
That is so tough.
Yeah. Thank you, because like this woman lives inside me. This poor girl who wore headgear to school.
Yeah,
to school.
Yeah,
and this is how you know me. I mean, this is.
But
this
you're
is,
also so cool. Your personality is like so shiny and beautiful. So it's like, who cares that you wore? To me, that was just like an interesting layer of you. And, like, there's a medical contraption on her face.
It was
God,
a
I'm so like. Thank God we've moved forward, because that in this time,
like, your daughters will not have to go through this.
There's no headgear anymore.
No.
There cannot be.
There isn't.
I think, well, you guys, think about it. What's the technology that is then spacing the children's teeth if it's not a headgear?
I think it's just braces. I don't think that they needed.
Well, but wasn't headgear for like the back teeth and the jaw to be spaced?
Yes.
Because let me tell you something. One of our daughters has like a massive overbite. Mm. It's so cute now, but I know it's going to cost us a fortune in the future. Yeah, but I wonder how they would actually fix
I just
it.
Have to pray that there is better technology.
I have
at this
not
point
seen
in
a headgear in 20 years.
But let me ask you this. Why? Like, here's the thing. We are so locked up in so many, like, taboo issues in our lifetime. Like, if I had to wear a headgear right now, guys, Tom Cruise.
He did.
The top Cruise.
Believe me, I think
braces.
About this all
and
the
he was
time.
Like, yeah, bro, because I want my teeth to be straight. And we were like, cool, dude, you're so cool. Like, if you want your teeth to be straight, wear a headgear or an Invisalign. I guess they have Invisalign now.
Yeah.
See?
That's what it is.
Technology.
Yeah, technology is better, but I don't know. I'm not really wrapped up. I've refused to let myself get wrapped up in the embarrassment of things like that anymore because I'm like, well, because I want my teeth to be straight when I, like, go to my 9-to-5, so I'm going to wear braces or a headgear. Like, get over it.
Excuse you.
Yeah, excuse you.
Yeah.
but in reference to your question, the best piece of technology, yeah, would probably
headgear.
Truly be the I came to your house a lot to play that Super Nintendo. Because I had regular Nintendo, not Super.
Well, look,
it was such a fun game.
Only some of us could be Super.
Yeah. And I loved it.
Until we got kicked off by my brother, who would be like, get out. It's mine.
Yeah, but we got to play it quite a bit. But then that's, remember what we did then. We went to your bedroom and we got a whole bunch of nail polishes. We started a nail salon for your mom and her friends.
Oh my God.
In the corner of your bedroom. Didn't you have a waterbed?
You're such
a punk.
How dare you have been with me?
I can give you all this dirt.
For 3 years. And never tell me on this podcast, forget about how long we've been, and never said you had a waterbed.
I had one. It was delightful.
And let me tell you something. That headgear was completely neutralized by the waterbed.
Right,
because that waterbed was so cool and like so outside the box. Mm-hmm. But after we got kicked off the Nintendo, we started a nail salon upstairs and like shoddily paint your mom's and her friend's nails. And they appeased us and it was so great.
That's adorable.
We had it running for like a week.
Did they pay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They paid like $5 each.
Yeah. It was delightful.
We made a little cash.
That is so.
And your mom
that's all
would,
we
like,
were after.
Do Reiki on us.
That's true. That's true.
I loved it.
Well, I feel like that leads us to we brought a couple artifacts in for you.
Oh, my gosh.
And
not many. Don't worry. Don't worry.
Is that a high school note?
You might want to do a cold read on these.
Oh, my God. First of all, why was I blotting my lipstick? Why was I wearing lipstick?
So these are
– I had the same question.
Notes that Emily has – you've kept a basket of notes, essentially.
I have shoe boxes.
Of notes. And she combed through and found some of the
– This one says don't show anyone.
Kristen.
Should I read
Emily,
them?
Please, if you don't mind.
Okay. Emily, Mr. Veach is so boring.
True.
Don't you think? Your teeth look good. So are we going to the library on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday? Good. I've hardly got anything done. I don't want this marking period to be over because I have gym fourth marking period. Great. I hate gym.
Great.
Well, I'll get in trouble if I write anymore. Love me. And in the bottom, in big bubble letters, it says Emily plus Annie equals BFF. There's a heart that is made into a peace sign and a yin-yang sign.
It's very creative.
Then that's crossed out, and then there's a better one at the bottom. This is intense. And then there's a bunch of lipstick blots on here, which I don't know why I was wearing bright coral lipstick.
Why was – I mean, we used to go and, like, get that Clinique – stuff.
The Clinique free gift.
Yes.
Okay. That was major.
There we go. And Annie was what you went by as a kid.
Yes. When I was like 3.5 or 4 years old, I hated the name Kristen Ann. That was my name, Kristen. And I said to my parents, I'm changing my name. From now on, I will be known as Smurfette. And they said, that's not happening. And then there was like 2 weeks where I wouldn't answer to anything but Smurfette. And they were fatigued. So they said, we can give you a nickname. Choose something. And I said, great. If not Smurfette, then Matthew. And they said, we're not calling you Matthew. These are genuine, like...
conversations.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I had a big argument, and because my cousin was born Matthew, I thought, like, what's such a cool name, Matthew? And then they said, we're not calling you Matthew. And my mom said, how about Annie? Because the movie was popular. Your name is Kristen Ann. We can call you Annie. And I was called Annie until I was like 15 or 16.
Oh, wow. You had a full-on name change.
Yeah. Yeah. Then when I switched high schools, they said Kristen in roll call. And I never corrected them because I was like, it is time for a change. Another
right,
change.
Another change. I need another one. I mean, I do need, if you're down to read.
I'll read all three
of these.
I'm going to save this. Don't show anyone.
So delightful. This is bringing me great. Great joy.
Well, and I wish everyone could see just the joy on your face.
Okay.
Annie, Beth.
Emily, hi, exclamation point. What's up with an arrow? Chicky, nothing here. I'm in Veach with you. Mr. Veach was our teacher at the time.
Okay.
What are all of us doing tomorrow? What are you and Karen doing? Are you getting together after school or at 4 o'clock? If all the...
Oh,
what is this word?
Hawarney.
Hawarney. Mr. Hawarney?
Yeah.
If all the Hawarnies aren't doing anything, do you and Karen want to do something on the half day? I would go home before you guys go shopping. Only if you want to, though. I'm so, and there's like 100 zeros, mm-hmm. et cetera, bored. Aren't you? I am. Have you studied for the test yet? I haven't. Well, no shit, Kristen, because all you're doing is writing stupid notes. I am. I haven't studied for the test yet. I haven't. I can't stand it. I'm hungry. I'm bored, and I'm hungry. Gotta go. I was useless as a child.
Something that I'm really – I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, but it's so funny because, like, we just had no – you were bored. You wanted to talk to your friends, but you couldn't. You asked questions, and then you just answer them.
That's my favorite part. Right. But we all did it, and it was like
– these are the first text messages.
Exactly. That's right. And these got passed mm-hmm. in class?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And but it's so – like, there's no point to them. Like, what, you're going to wait, like, 3 hours for a reply to your note – and maybe I'll answer a question. Yeah, Veach was boring.
But
but what does it even?
Yeah,
it's
but that's
so
kind
funny.
Of a that was a rhetorical one for me apparently because I referenced his boring class a couple times. But what's cute about it is like kids at this age, they're all struggling to express themselves. So this was. It was, again, like sort of a – you were somewhat irrelevant in the notes. I mean, not apparently because I asked you for plans like 8 times. I was so needy. But this was me trying to express myself. And I kept saying I was bored and hungry and like what I wish I could go back in a time machine and say, hey, Kristen, if you're bored, stop writing boring notes. Get up and do something. And if you're hungry, eat
something.
Like there are solutions. Yeah, right. There's a book we have called Dear Girl, which I love.
Ooh.
And it says like – dear girl, and it gives all these different pieces of advice, but one of the pages, it says, dear girl, find people like you and find people unlike you. And it's a picture of a girl with her whole soccer team and then a picture of the soccer girl with a bunch of misfits. And one of the pages says, dear girl, do you know what's boring? Saying how bored you are. And so it's like this little sort of slap on the wrist to, it really is a shitty thing to be like, I'm so bored because
that was like 90% of our lives in middle school. I feel like it was just like, I'm so bored. Are you bored? I'm bored too.
I know. And then there's so many ways to pacify that boredom right now. But I'm like, am I always delivering my most dynamic activities? No. But it's something to think about.
Although I will say, like, again, not to bring it back to parenting stuff, but I always do. You know, one of the teaching techniques of Waldorf that I love is they say boredom is a teaching tool and they want to get their kids bored. You don't want to have way too much stimulus in your house that your kids are always doing something. You want them to sit there and go, I'm bored, because when they get themselves out of it, what they're doing is creating and activating the sort of like creativity center in their brain to figure out how to do things, make things, think things up. That's a part of your brain that needs to be developed. And if everything is pacified and given to you and all these dolls are just given to you and you just sort of play with them and you never think, what could I do today? And then go outside and dig in the dirt and make a mud castle.
Right.
Those, you know, that part of your brain doesn't really grow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember being so bored. So I wonder what happened.
I know.
Yeah, but I remember, you're right, like friends going and like we carved out these areas in the bushes and made it a kitchen and like that was so real, you know, and just would go under there and have a whole little world. And, you make.
There's like a benefit to that. Also to toys that become different things, they say, in parenting is really good. Like you have a scarf. It could be a cape. It could be a tablecloth. It could be windmill.
I went immediately to Transformers. I was like, oh, cool. I'll get Transformers.
No, like something that could become something else. Like they use a lot of like wooden blocks because they could be a table and they could be a fork or they could be, you know, a wall or.
Yeah.
It's good for their brains to see different possibilities, I guess, was what it's about. Do we want to get.
Well, let's read the last one and then we'll do a little break and then we'll come back. Mm-hmm. We need the last
one. This is really specific. This is. Oof. Warning. It says, Emily, don't show anyone.
Good thing.
And today's the first day we're going to show it. So I think that needs to be said. This is not for the
faint of
heart.
Do you have a sense of how old you were with these, do you think?
What is it like seeing your handwriting, too? Is that like, do you recognize it as yours?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I do. How old would you say, 12 or 13 we were? Yeah, that's pretty accurate, I think. Mm-hmm. Emily, I'm so mad at her, !! You know who. Me and Emily, the other Emily, made arrangements to sit together today because we were all changing seats. So Jennifer took my spot today next to Emily. That's so rude. I'll tell you more later. Love, me. Yeah.
That's a hot one.
Yeah.
I love that you made arrangements to sit together, like some formal.
And I had invested in these arrangements. I had an expectation. Right. You know?
Well, and what's also
– which is a recipe for disaster.
Nice is that I know who she's mad at. But then she also spells it out. But I know probably because I'm mad at her too.
Yeah. You're mad at Emily, the other Emily.
No, Jennifer.
Jennifer. We needed to be a team. I needed someone on my team.
Yeah.
Because I was very small.
And I'm happy that you have a Karen too.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Pretty much the best Karen.
Yeah.
Are you guys – is this – did you guys go to the school from the school you talk about that was super progressive? Is that a diff- – that's this different. Is prior to that
yeah.
one.
We okay. split high school. High school. So yeah. Emily went to Roper and I went to Shrine.
Okay, copy.
Shrine of our little Mayflower.
Yeah. I feel like we should take a break.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We have a couple things we can chat with you about. We may want to find out – we have had the youths come through and teach us stuff, and we might want to see if you – where you're at with some of these things.
I would love to fail this test.
You know, it's like hearing that the weekend was not on your radar. Uh-huh. I don't know where we're going to land, but you're also extremely savvy on these interwebs, and you probably had, like, one of the first huge viral videos. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's things that we don't know where you're going to land.
Right. Well, I will say – I mean, before we start the test, I think a little bit more like a businesswoman, so I understand content. I don't necessarily understand what's always relevant, but I understand story and narrative very well, which is why I think that I seem savvy.
Okay.
You might be savvy.
We'll see.
All right.
We'll be right back.
How to be less old!
Guess what? Our friend Cameron Esposito is bringing her show Queery to Earwolf. That's right. Earwolf is getting Queerwolf.
Love Cameron. She's the best. So sit in on conversations between host and stand-up comic Cameron Esposito and some of the brightest luminaries in the LGBTQ family.
Queery has featured guests like Tegan and Sarah, Evan Rachel Wood, and no big deal, Jill Soloway.
The show explores individual stories of identity, personality, and the shifting culture matrix around gender, sexuality, and civil rights.
The first episode drops March 5th with special guest Lena Waithe.
Make sure you listen and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or earwolf.com.
Bam.
How to be less old!
When it comes to bra shopping, it's all about finding the right fit for your boobies.
And there's only one lingerie brand that offers bras in sizes AA through G. That place, that company, is Third Love.
Third Love uses thousands of real women's measurements and super smoothing memory foam to create bras that fit and feel great.
If I could flash mine now, I would.
Please do.
While most old school bra bands only carry 15 sizes, boo, Third Love offers 60 sizes, including half cups, which no one else does.
And Third Love knows that there's a perfect bra for everybody. So right now, they're offering our listeners 15% off your first order.
To find the bra you've been waiting for all of your life, all you have to do is answer a few simple questions from Third Love's Fit Finder quiz.
It's gonna take you 60 seconds, and you can do it all from the comfort of your sweet home.
Forget about awkward fitting rooms. That will not happen. You're doing it from home. So
try a Third Love bra. It's so comfortable, you might forget you're actually wearing one.
And if you don't agree, returns and exchanges are easy and they are free.
This year, make the change. The change that will change the way you think about bras. Ha!
Go to thirdlove.com/HTBLO now and find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/HTBLO.
Thirdlove.com/HTBLO.
How to be less old!
Okay, we are back. Kristen Bell.
I'm here.
Thank you so much for being here with us today.
Does it feel weird to call me Kristen?
You know, it... Maybe, like, at first when we, like, both moved out to L.A. and rekindled and and you were like, hey, it's Kristen. I'm like, sure, Annie, whatever.
Right.
But, like, no, we're good.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can call me whatever you want. You can call me Annie if you want.
Oddly, when I, like, I think because I put you in my phone as KB, so I call you KB in my head.
And, like, a lot of people call me KB. That's fine.
Yeah. So I call you KB more than anything else. Anyway.
We're going to find out what you know. You know, in terms of the youthiness of the youths, like some of these, KB, are hot off the press, okay?
I can't wait.
So
some of these we support and some of these we find so extra.
Yeah.
Don't even.
Hit me.
Okay. Dry texting.
Sober texting.
No, but that's really good. That's really better. So we just learned this. That if someone is just hitting you back with, like, Okay. Thumbs up. Great. That's dry text.
Oh, shit. I almost exclusively dry text.
Well, I think it's all of us a little bit because we're using it as – we're not using it as notes. We're using it as
really,
quick communicating.
Yeah, it's quick communicating to – because to me, texting is much more just planning something to see you in the future. It's the foreplay of actually seeing you. So it's like meet at Alcove Cafe, thumbs up or smiley face or great. And I guess that would be considered dry texting.
Very dry. Okay. Very dry.
All right.
Emily,
is it a pejorative? Like, does it have a negative connotation? Dry texting?
Yes. Well, yeah.
I think it's like, why are you being so dry? You know.
Got it.
Especially, yeah. I think it also is paired with. It tends to be paired with somebody's writing a paragraph and they get a short response. I think if it's short on short, it may not. It's not
it
even.
It may not read
a dry text.
Yeah.
Understood.
But if someone's giving everything.
Got it.
And then they're
That's
getting
fair.
An okay.
Got it, got it.
That
okay.
feels really dry.
Right.
You're getting dry texted upon, you know.
Got it.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Okay. Have you heard of and do you have a Rinsta? Have you heard of Rinsta and Finsta?
No.
Okay.
So how many Instagram accounts do you have?
One.
Oh. Okay.
Whoa.
Are you supposed to have more than one?
Thank you. We didn't know until very
recently.
Oh,
is this like you have one for your dog?
Yes.
Yes.
Sort of. But like you could have one. I would just throw this out there. Where you exclusively post pictures of your amazing daughters.
And it's private.
And it's
like,
private.
And you would come on it. And
right.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. Well, side note, the reason I don't do that is because the people that I think deserve and are intimate enough to sort of like see pictures of my kids are the ones we see in real life. They're
right.
the real human beings that we hang out with. So I don't necessarily need to have a sort of curated archive of their pictures.
Fair.
Because I just text them.
Preach.
Yeah,
preach.
Yes. I mean, but that's just me. But
no.
But
yeah.
I see how.
But
I know,
that would be a Prinsta, which is
okay.
a private account that you would have just for your curated people.
Prinsta. I know people who do it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's totally fine.
Yeah.
I only have one account,
right.
So I don't know.
Right, and I think of our account, but that doesn't count. So, yeah, I have a Rinsta, which is a real Instagram. So if you have your real Instagram and that's all you have, you just have Instagram. But if you have your real Instagram and you have other Instagrams, you're calling it your Rinsta because it's your real Instagram. And then your Finsta could even be a fake Instagram account.
And that's where you're going to post drunk Kristen, like, getting cray. And then that's also a private account. But those are pictures that you really don't want out in the world, but maybe a certain selected crew can see them.
But that's not Prinsta? That's not private Instagram account?
Slightly different. Private's even,
yeah.
even like, fewer people.
Okay.
Are in on your Prinsta.
Right, but you could probably, if you were, and I think it happens more in, you know, high school, but your Finsta could have a very large following, but you're not, it's not going to be the kind, but I guess not that large because you don't, you would want to be safe and not, and know that these people aren't going to like repost them. So it's kind of a Prinsta.
Yeah, I'm not quite
There's
clear
a difference that we can't get to right now.
As you know, we don't have the youthy mind.
Yeah. yeah.
But it's not for us.
You know.
The Finsta.
Yeah. Okay.
Are you tired?
No.
Have we worn you down?
No, I'm learning so much.
It's and there's gymstas, like people who like have an Instagram account for their gym pictures.
Their gym life.
And their gym life.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I just followed one of those, actually.
You did?
My friend was saying my husband does this, like puts all his workouts on his Instagram. And it's probably his Rinsta, but I was like, can I follow it? Like I had to ask permission because I'm like, it's sort
like,
of weird.
I'm really
but
creeping
I also
on
was
your
just
husband.
Invested in seeing it.
But
and she
sometimes
was like, yeah.
That's great, I think, because I do like, look, there's this argument of like, should we be curating ourselves and should we be sharing so much? And I see all of the points there and I have a lot of thoughts. But then there's another part of me that thinks like, look, 99% of people are lemmings, okay? We have very few like born leaders. A lot of people don't feel like they know what they're doing. Nobody really does. When you look to someone else, if we have lunch together and you say, oh, this is the salad dressing I make. It's really healthy and it helps my tummy and it gives me great skin or whatever. I go, oh, Emily, that's so cool. Can I write that down? I'm looking to you.
Right.
You're influencing me. And I'm taking something from you. And I think sometimes when people do post something about gym or health or whatever, like the really good things, I think that's kind of great because you're
positive.
Sort of being
yeah.
an example.
Yeah.
Like, I would like, I would follow someone's Gymsta to be like, I need workouts. And if this person has great before and after photos, or I just really like the their level of energy and their health fitness, then I would,
Yeah, and I think we talk about that a lot. It's like filling your feed with things that inspire you is so important.
Right.
Which is
no, that is important. And I've taken a lot of things and people out that don't feel good, you know, because it is a...
Well, it's weird to like actually consider like, okay, this is affecting you. This crazy app that like we all just scroll is actually affecting my mood and it's affecting who I am as a person. And like, how much ownership do I want to take of that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like we've had girls on who, you know, are really focused on body positivity and they've changed, you know, they have women in their feed that represent them and look great and amazing.
Yeah.
You know, so they're kind of curating that for themselves. As an outlook, what are you thinking?
No, nothing. I think that's great and healthy to recognize how much of a trick our phones are and these apps are. And that there was a 60 Minutes on these guys from Silicon Valley, these tech guys that sort of came out and talked about how they basically all the features within all of these apps are meant to trigger the most basic primitive parts of our reward pleasure centers. Mm-hmm. And so like, for instance, one of the things that he said, like when you pull down and you see the little spinning clock, there is no reason to have that clock. It is an immediate update because you have Wi-Fi, or if you have service, there should never, ever, ever be the spinning clock. They installed that because it makes people it's like when you say hurry up, the sale's about to end.
Right.
Builds anticipation.
And that's what they do. And so these Silicon Valley people were sort of like, we need to recognize that all these things we installed in these apps, they're tricking our brain, and that's why we use these machines so much. And look, like it's a capitalistic society. You can have whatever you want in your app. And if people use it, people use it. But there's also free information, and it should be that people know, oh, this app makes me want to be on it more for a specific reason, because the designers of this app
are dicks.
Looked into my brain and said, how can we make them on it much more? Yeah, it should never refresh. It should be a refreshing. It should be permanently refreshing. It's to build anticipation, to make you wait.
Yeah, I feel like it's funny with phones, I feel like I don't have the view that I need to have, like how I'm being manipulated. Mm-hmm. But
watch that 60 Minutes.
I will.
Yeah.
With advertising, I'm like, oh, I wish as a kid somebody had said to me, everything that you're watching, every commercial is built around this idea that you're
lacking
in something.
Yeah.
And it's because when you're little, you can't recognize it.
There are a few people who have in like childhood development who have focused on that issue. There's a great album from when we were little called Marlo Thomas and Friends, Free to Be You and Me. Mm-hmm. And it's a series of songs, and it's performed by like Diane, oh my God, greatest singer of all time, Diane. Diana Ross. Diana Ross does one. Alan Alda does one. Like Marlo Thomas does a bunch of them. Mel Brooks does one. And one that's done is talks about commercials, and it's like a sort of a spoken word poem about how the woman you see on TV who's doing the housework, who's cleaning up with powder or wax or paste or bleach, doesn't actually want to be doing it. She's doing it because she's in a commercial and they sell a product, and no one really wants to do housework, but she makes it look fun, and the funnest way to do housework is together. And it's like sort of this little like wrap up. But there are a few people who try to get that through to our kids, but it's rare.
Yeah, it is rare, which is weird because –
because it's everywhere. It's all consuming, and it takes so many years to really understand how you're being played.
Right. I think that this should be taught in schools, how our brains work, because there's a book called Nurture Shock that talks about when children are taught the idea, the overall concept that your brain is hungry and that when you feed it, your brain grows. When they're taught that concept first, they're actually more hungry to learn versus if they're just given a bunch of math problems and, hey, do more math problems, do more English studies. If the first platform they're taught is like, so listen, when you start to study something, your brain grows, and the more your brain grows, the more your brain grows, the more you feed it, the more it grows, and it's just like your body. They were actually better learners because they understood the sort of primitive evolutionary value of all the parts of our brain. And I think that sort of goes along with learning why your brain is tricked by your phone. I think once we learn those baselines, we're so much better and adept at handling everything in our lives. Yeah. But we just don't – we like bypass teaching that to people somehow.
We totally do. It's crazy.
It's dick.
Yeah.
Those dicks.
I'm going to skip vagina steaming.
Okay. Wait, I did hear about this. I just also like, who has the time?
I know. Time. And what then is it what for? Happens?
Well, when you're married, it's like, who are you trying to impress?
Right. They're going to get whatever vagina.
He was there at the poop receiving
That's
line.
That's what I'm saying.
Sure,
you know what I mean?
There's no mystery.
I mean, look, if you have time and you like to, you know, do facials on yourself and take time shaving your legs and you're into the beauty treat, I would say go for it. Like, I'm not mad at it. I'm just saying, like, I'm not necessarily.
I'm
it's not clickbait
it.
For me. Yeah.
No, I doesn't draw me in on any level.
No, get out of here. Okay, this is a weird one. HODL and FUD.
None. No.
No. Out.
Yeah. Pass.
Yeah.
Well, they're part of the world of Bitcoin and.
Are you in on Bitcoin? Do you have some Bitcoin?
No, but I know of it. Again, only because I saw the 60 Minutes on it.
Right. So that those guys probably have.
Like my favorite program, 60 Minutes.
Yeah. My favorite old person's program, 60 Minutes.
We got to write that down. That's a hot one.
Yes.
Explain it because you had that article.
Well, yeah. No, it's – so these Bitcoin people who are making all their bazillions on this, like I
crypto
guess –
Crypto millionaires.
There's like a philosophy amongst them. HODL is actually just the misspelling of hold, which is fear. So when they're like, I don't even fully have this.
Yeah,
to
I mean,
be honest.
I think the hold was like instead of making a move, you know, just financially, just hold, but they call it like HODL.
And I don't know why.
Right. And then FUD was fear, uncertainty, and doubt, which is what's happening inside of them.
Right, which is
with
bad.
Certain. When they're about to make a transaction, and that's going to inform what they do.
But you know what? They're fake words because it's a fake currency,
yeah.
And that's all we have.
I don't know a ton about it. Therefore, I refuse to put it down because I don't know the ins and outs of it. But what I do know is I don't have time for it because I barely have time to get cash from the ATM and organize my own finances.
Yes.
So again, if it's your thing and you have time for it, go for it. But it's just I can't learn another currency. I barely got a grasp on ours.
The currency that's available
I don't
readily.
Have it. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that like vagina steaming and Bitcoin are really for people with time.
But if I had to choose one, I would steam my vagina way before I'd learn about Bitcoin.
Absolutely.
I'll tell you that right now.
Because I know I wouldn't lose anything.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure if I got involved with Bitcoin, it would be the death of me. Yeah, like for sure would end up with $0.
Okay, what about oat milk? Are we on this train?
Are you doing oat milk?
Well, I've seen it advertised. No, and I'll tell you why. Because I'm pretty into pea milk.
Thank you. Are you doing Ripple?
Of course.
Okay.
Ripple every morning with my matcha.
Guys, we're in Los Angeles. For the people
it's
in
not,
other parts of the world
it's P-E-A,
and
not,
yeah, P-E-A.
Not P-E-E, just
it's
to a, clarify.
It's made from peas. Look, peas are high in protein.
That's
I'm
right.
a vegetarian, so I am always looking for
– Are you still vegan or just
– No, just vegetarian.
Okay.
But I'm always looking for a little – we don't do dairy milk at our house. We'll do cheese and stuff, but for some reason, I don't know, dairy milk just feel – I also just – Every time I drive by those plants, I feel sad for the cows that are just hooked up to machines their whole life. So it's partly an ethical thing. I also think factory farming has a lot of problems and needs a lot more regulation. So I try to consume less animal products. We're not perfect, and my kids eat meat and they eat dairy. But as far as like just buying milk every week, we don't do it. And we do almond milk and we do all those things. And yes, there are the arguments that almonds are bad for the environment. But you know what? That so are a lot of other things. Almond got kind of slammed when the drought happened because all these statistics came out about how much water it costs per almond. But that's pretty much like everything. And by the way, that's
meat.
An almond is pales in comparison to how much a cow needs.
Right.
So look, we have outrage addiction on the internet.
Oh, girl.
So everyone wants to be outraged about what someone else loves. But personally...
Well, I love you and I want them to be outraged about it.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I am outraged with love for the pea milk because it tastes just like an almond milk or like a regular milk, but it has 8 grams of protein each cup. And in the morning when I have my matcha, I like to have like a little... If I don't have time for breakfast, or I also can't have tea on an empty stomach. So same. Mixing the pea milk into the matcha is great, and I'm getting protein.
Damn.
Peas are also, I've heard, and I don't have anything to back this up, but I have heard that they're a good, like, turnover crop. So, like, when you plant corn or soy or any of the other crops, they deteriorate the soil and they suck the nutrients out. But somehow peas, when you plant them, I think actually give things back to the soil. So you can do, like, alternate, do, like, peas 1 year and then corn 2 other years or whatever, and you sort of give it back. So it's like a sort of good for the environment thing. So I think people should eat a lot more peas.
And thanks, you girls peas. Are getting this pea milk where?
Gelson's, Whole Foods. Okay. Yeah, it's okay. A little bit harder to find.
Yeah.
But also, look, that's why capitalism exists. You can say to your friendly grocer's freezer, hey, can you please carry this Ripple pea milk? And they'll go like, yeah, we're on it. And you say it 5 times and then all of a sudden they carry it.
Ripple pea milk.
Ripple pea milk, baby. It is kind of like, they're very weird words.
Yeah.
Very
Ripple pea milk.
Yeah. Yeah, when we said pea milk, I was like, that clearly sounds like urine.
Yeah.
We're going to end with this. Are you aware of Cardi B at all?
Cardi B, no.
Oh, okay. Oh, wait. Yeah.
Well, then you probably won't know that her fans are... They call themselves the Barty Gang. That's just a takeaway.
Okay.
You can just take that home.
This is an Instagram girl?
She's a rapper.
A rapper, okay.
She kind of blew up over the last year.
Oh, yeah.
See, I feel like I would probably know songs she sings.
You would.
But again, it's solely because I'm like a hermit that I don't really know everybody.
You would.
No, you're doing great.
I'm sure she's awesome, by the way.
She is.
The fault is mine. It's not me being like, ugh, who's Cardi B? Like, that's the opposite.
Yeah.
It's me saying like...
Hi, Cardi B.
Very sorry, yeah. Cardi B. I'm about to get on your train because
right.
You sound cool.
She is fun.
You're going to be a Barty gang girl. I couldn't remember. Okay, so last thing, then we're going to wrap.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kylie Jenner.
Yeah.
She just had a beautiful babe.
Okay.
She posts a picture of her and her babe.
Kylie is the
little
one.
Yeah,
yes.
The baby.
Oh,
the baby
had
a baby.
A baby?
The baby had a baby. And her baby daddy is this guy, Travis Scott.
Okay.
And he commented on the picture of his baby mama and the baby, mm-hmm. Gang on gang.
Is that like squad? Like you're my number one squad and then the baby's also my number one squad. So it's like squad on squad.
Now this one we don't have.
We
so
don't
we're
have
just
it.
Gonna, we're just pondering what this could mean.
Well, it's gotta be positive.
It's
because
definitely.
If it were, yeah, it's gotta be positive. Gang
right.
on gang.
Gang on gang. I mean, that's where I was going to. Like, she's his gang, and then there's another gang, which is the new baby. And so it's, like, gang on gang.
All my gang.
So
yeah,
many gangs.
Like Dax says, all my bunnies. When I'm home and the girls are home and we're all sitting in a pile, he's
that's
like,
really
it's a bunny
cute.
Pile. He's like, all my bunnies here.
That's so cute.
All right.
Yeah, well, I think we'll – are you looking up gang on gang?
I did. I
what'd
you get? You're not supposed to do it, but
no,
we did
No, we usually
it.
Leave it to
oh,
a
I
youth.
Know.
I know.
Let's learn.
Okay. So –
No.
You know, language is so interesting because this is, I feel like the fundamental of your show is all about this language shift. And I'm looking at these letters and I'm kind of obsessed with like old love letters people used to write to each other, like during mm-hmm. the Civil War, or like if you listen to Alexander Hamilton, like the way that they spoke to each other, or you read the book or you read any of those like Thomas Jefferson mm-hmm. books, where the way they write, it's like melodic and there's so many more words and descriptions. And we have simplified our language to an exponential degree. And once for Valentine's Day a couple years ago, I like read a bunch of those letters and then wrote my husband a letter just like an old-timey love letter.
Aww.
Where there was like a bunch of descriptions and a bunch of metaphors. And I mean, he was like, oh, this is so cute. But I was like utterly impressed with myself.
Yeah.
But, you know, and thinking like from that time, you know, 100 or 200 years ago, how much language has been simplified, we're sort of going through those growing pains again because now we have things like gang on gang, which we don't know what it means.
Nope.
But in 5 to 10 years, probably everyone's going to be saying it. And then we are going to be the old love letters at one point.
You've just kind of wrapped up our podcast so beautifully.
That's where we end.
That's it.
Kristen Annie Bell.
Yes.
This was such a delight.
Thanks for having me,
girls. Thank you so much for coming.
People should be watching The Good Place, obviously.
Well, I think so because I really like the job and I hope it goes 100 years.
Funny.
It's so fun to do, and we're about to start shooting season 3, and I've seen the boards, which is like how the writers write out on little post-it notes what's going to happen before they write the script, and it's very, very funny.
I actually just want to shout out because one of our top favorite guests we've ever had on this show is Demi Adigwebe.
He's working on it?
He's a writer? Right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He's a writer on your
show. He was on the show.
I do not know he wrote on that. He is so special.
He's so special.
Yeah, he wrote – I can't remember which episode he wrote last year, but he was the writer's assistant, and then he wrote – he was so good that he wrote a full episode. And he's – what is fantastic. He on Instagram? Because I follow him.
Electro Lemon.
Electro Lemon.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I like that a lot.
And people should follow your Insta.
Sure. Yeah. My one and only, which is Kristen Annie Bell.
That is
and
it.
And your Twitter is I am Kristen.
Yes. The letter I and the letter M. And then that's just because Kristen Bell wasn't available. And then later on they ask you do you want to change it to Kristen Bell? Because we can fuse the accounts. And I was like, I don't have time.
Yeah.
I don't even know what it involves, but whatever it is. No, thank. I'm just, who cares?
People will find their way if they need to find
you. That's kind of what I thought.
Yeah. And they have. They have found you. The people have found you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Bye.
How to be less old.
Kristen Bell is the best.
She's pretty hot. She's pretty hot, and she really brought it. I feel like I'm getting a whole new take now on Instagram, which is much needed. As she said to me, which I will always remember, which I thought was very beautiful when we kind of became LA friends, let's just breathe new life into this. And that's how I'm going to look at my Instagram from here on out.
Into your friendship.
Yeah.
She was like, let's turn a page. It's been years. Yeah. Let's see what new things can blossom. Yeah, I'm ready to breathe new life into a lot.
Right?
Yes.
Let's breathe it into Instagram because start with stories.
That's right.
You guys, thank you so much for listening.
Thank you so much.
I am Emily Foster at Frida Foster.
I'm Deanna Chang at Deanna M. Chang.
And you can find us on Instagram, Twitter, everything, at HTBLO.
And that's How to Be Less Old.
That's right. And if you want to, you should march yourself over to Apple Podcasts, leave us a little review, give us 5 stars.
Yeah.
Just do it.
If you have it in your spirit,
Just do it.
Just do it, actually.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
How to be less old.
When it comes to bra shopping, it's all about finding that perfect fit right for you. And there's only one lingerie brand that offers bras in sizes AA through G, and that's Third Love.
Find your perfect fitting bra today. Go to thirdlove.com/HTBLO and get 15% off your first purchase.
That's thirdlove.com/HTBLO.
thirdlove.com/HTBLO.
Hey everyone, Scott Aukerman here. Are you a fan of the podcast, You Talking You Two to Me? Well, I hope you are. If you are, make sure to check out Adam Scott and I have a new show, Are You Talking R.E.M. Re-Me? That's right, it's a brand new show with a brand new title. Join us as we discuss the music and impact of the band R.E.M., through an album-by-album analysis. That sounds very nerdy, but it's actually fun. We break down everything and nothing about the band. Listen to the limited series Are You Talking R.E.M. Re-Me Wednesdays on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and Earwolf.com. This is good rock and roll. Use it!
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman, Chris Bannon, and Colin Anderson. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.